You're listening to your NBA podcast with David and Kane. Welcome back, Kane. Tell us about your trip.
Thanks.
Tell us about your relaxing trip to the tropics.
I went to Bali, Indonesia, place I got married.
Oh.
And did you not know that?
I did not know that. We've never talked about this.
Yeah, I guess not. Was I married? I guess. I don't think I actually was married yet when I first met you.
We've had this multi-year relationship, but you never told me you were married.
Well, you knew I was married, but
that's true.
I guess I never told you. I just can't remember when I first got married. Oh, no, sorry. When we first met. Sorry. Can't remember the year.
Let me think. This is very important, actually.
It was before the Nets super team, obviously.
But I think you might have...
Because I told you about the... I told you about the Nets and you were crazy.
Let's put it this way, then I'll know. What year did you get married?
2017. 2017.
What month?
April.
Like, wow, that's a very confident answer.
April 31st.
I probably joined the company. We worked for the same company. I think I joined after April.
It was close, though. It was close anyway.
What do you think about these destination weddings? Because you would be asking people to pay for like an expensive ticket to a foreign country.
Well, I'm going to a destination wedding again in December.
Okay. Whereabouts?
Cambodia.
Ooh, it's very exotic.
Have you been before?
I've not been to Cambodia. No. I'm a bit worried about those countries.
Well, what do you mean those countries? Or what do you mean by those countries?
I'm nervous about countries where I can't name their presidents or like don't know who the current government is.
That's just your ignorance.
I know who my president is, okay? President Xi.
What
president
do you mean?
President Xi.
All right, whatever. So, what are we talking about?
The LA Clippers. I think what we've seen here is a bit of a desperation move. A couple years ago, they brought in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And now if we look at this team, it's full of, there's been so many sort of quote unquote all-stars / MVPs brought into the team without anything to show for it. Whether that's bringing in Russell Westbrook or James Harden or John Wall.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Since trading for Harden, the Clippers have not won a game.
Even before that, they were on a 2-game losing streak even before Harden played any games. I think, okay, maybe actually since Harden joined the team, because they're on a 4-game losing streak now. So it actually might be accurate to say since he joined the team, not like just the games he played, the 2 games he's played, he has been horrible. They're 0-2, but they're on a 4-game losing streak. So it could be when he actually joined the team, they've haven't won a game either.
Yeah, they haven't won since he joined. I should correct.
Funny enough, though, in LA at home, they're 3-0, and away they're 0-5, which is a pretty interesting stat to be like perfect at home and totally imperfect away.
And is it a coincidence that the Sixers, on the other hand, haven't lost a game? Well, that's actually not fair because Harden didn't really play any games for the Sixers this season.
Yeah, he hasn't. But since
that trade, but they're perfect.
But Sixers have always, for some reason, Sixers especially have always been pretty good at home and kind of not as good away, which kind of gives them like a 20-30 loss season generally.
Should we talk about the surprise of the Sixers or the disaster that is the Clippers right now? Because it's getting serious.
Yeah, it's getting close to your 10-game theory.
But not just that, like they lost big time last game.
Yeah.
They got their ass kicked.
Against the Mavs, right? Against the Mavericks.
I'm talking about losing like down 30 in like the third quarter.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. And I think there was a stat that when James Harden checked in for Russ, when he subbed in for Russ, the Mavericks went on a 28-2 run.
Oh, Jesus.
With Harden on the court. So I don't even know what Harden's... Actually, I want to check. That's like super
crazy.
Embarrassing, actually. I want to see what the plus minus was. For some reason, okay, Westbrook. Maybe I got confused. Westbrook was a negative 26.
Not good.
And Harden was a negative 6.
It's not good.
Zubac was actually a plus one. And Zubac, like in that game against the Nets, I also noted, like in my opinion, I also noted that Zubac was the best player against the Nets. Nets without a true center. The Nets' tallest player was 6'7 in that game, Dorian Finney-Smith. And Zubac is probably easily 6'11, if not 7 foot. Didn't get the ball enough to actually dominate.
Isn't it an issue that the Clippers have with Harden can't beat the Nets, who are literally missing like four of their starters?
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is, but I'm willing. Is it just okay? Yeah, like we'll say it is. I think there's another team that's even more of a disaster than the Clippers, because as bad as they are, the Clippers are still only 3-5, which is, it's fine. It's early season. They could literally end up 5-5 and it'll be not an issue. So Harden just joining this team, still feeling his way with these guys, trying to like understand where his shot distribution is. I think that's fine. But just based on this two-game basis, you can see Harden, he hesitates so much on shots. He's got like this like sixes, or maybe it's a confidence issue or something, but he's not taking catch and shoots when he's receiving the ball, and he's like fairly open for James Harden level.
He's never played this way. So like when he catches the ball,
but he was playing this way in Brooklyn. He was playing like this way in Brooklyn. And before he got injured in Brooklyn, he was very much catch and shoot.
Apparently he didn't like that. It was not a secret.
Before the injury, they were great. This is the best
offense. I'll give you a source. According to Raja Bell.
Raja Bell, former Phoenix Sun. And maybe Spur, potentially.
And good buddies with Steve Nash. He said undisclosed, his undisclosed sources, aka Steve Nash. He said Steve Nash told him Harden did not like his role in Brooklyn at all. From day one, never liked it. Never liked it. Despite the fact that he was very successful in that short period with the Nets. Until like, you know, the final couple of games when he like totally. Sure. But Steve Nash said it was a struggle every day since the beginning to get him to buy into that role. So while yes, of course he's capable of a catch and shoot, if he's capable of doing his little like sidestep fadeaway threes, obviously he could do like a catch and shoot three, right? But the problem is that it's not hard. He hasn't done that naturally for so long. He probably doesn't even practice that. He's not he's not familiar with it. So when he gets the ball, and like you said, I saw the same thing. He's like open for a three. He doesn't shoot the three.
Yeah, he'll pass it. He'll pass it out.
He'll pass it, or he'll like fucking like do a pump fake and then like do a side step. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. There's no, the player's not near you. Why are you doing a pump fake? Player's like literally like 8 feet away from you, like, you know, trying to catch you, like coming to you, right? But you don't have to pump fake that. And then why are you side stepping? You just catch and shoot, quick release. But the thing is, he's not J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
That's not been his role.
It's not his style, yeah.
It's not his style. And he probably doesn't, like, practice with that mindset. So the question is, can he get into the mindset? Because obviously he has the skills to do it still. It's an open question. I don't know if that can happen. But I can tell you, like I said, Steve Nash has made it clear that Harden did not want to do that in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, it also could just be a diminishing offensive ability, like compared to Houston. Because he kind of like talks like about how he wants to return to this player in Houston where he was the NBA leader in points scoring. He wants to return to that form. And it's probably more likely that he just has lost that form, right? Like, as opposed to what I said, like confidence or not the right system. It's maybe it's a factor of those two, but it's probably more likely that he literally is physically worse than he was 5 years ago when he like won the MVP or whenever he won it. But that's to say, like, that's not to say he's still a great player. Like, literally last year in the role that he doesn't like, where he's the pass first kind of player, where Doc Rivers is like, he has to shoot more, but he's just continually passing. He made his teammate, his running, his like the best player on the team. He was like the second best player on the team. He enabled that team to allow Joel Embiid to win the MVP. That's like, it's pretty crazy. Like, he's still that level player where he could be the second best player on a championship level team. And the other player is racking up points and wins and everything to go on to win the MVP campaign. Like, that's that's not easy to do as like the second best player. And that's like probably, and that's why Kevin Durant, when he won the MVP, he credited everyone, but especially Russell Westbrook, because the Westbrook was the second best player. A lot of MVPs do, like, they got this guy in the corner that helps them out the most to enable. So they're not selfish, so they take less of the shots. So then the MVP can do that. Mm. Every team, every MVP needs that sort of running mate, needs that Robin.
Mm.
And I don't know if like Harden embraced that. I mean, we know now he didn't. But he seemed to put on a brave face to the media. Even like Brooklyn, he kept saying, "Kyrie, you're the shooting guard. I'm the point guard. Like, I'm going to get you guys the ball. I'm going to get you guys open shots." Probably didn't say this exactly, but like, you know, if I'm open, of course I'll do it. If I can see free lane, of course I'm gonna drive down lane and get a layup. But my first and foremost, reaction is to pass it out like to you guys, because you guys like, you know, really good catch and shoot people. And he's more of like a setup artist who can create his own shot. Well, I mean, they all can create their own shot. That was the crazy thing about that team. Like, literally, it didn't matter if, like, who had the ball. Each of them had the crazy ability to easily go one-on-one with the defender and just create their own shot. And it was like good for 50% of the time. I have no idea how that team didn't, like, I know how they got injured. They got injured.
It's not a bad injury. You can say it. I'll give you the floor.
No, it's because of injury. If Kyrie didn't step on Giannis's foot, they would have won the fight. They would have won it.
Note to self: insert the eagle sound here. Say his name.
But what? Say his name.
It's because of Kyrie Irving. Okay.
He got injured.
This imaginary conversation of that you think Harden was telling his teammate, "Kyrie, I got you. You're the shooting guard. I'll give you the ball." No. Harden wanted to fucking strangle Kyrie.
But don't you think in every single situation, like last season is a great example. Like, you could not ask for a better situation where you're the main guard and then you have a main big guy that you're not crossing, you know, any roles. Like, it's so clearly defined what your roles are. Philadelphia were like perfect, and they got a perfect like start to the season. They got the best record in the East, and you don't want to be on that team. So it goes back to, well, you saw that viral video of that that guy. I don't know his name. Is
the Mavs announcer?
And that Mavs announcer.
Right. I don't know if he's an announcer, but Mavs commentator.
Commentator. Yeah, that's good.
What do you think about that?
Tore into Harden, and basically the theme that he was presenting was that Harden's always the problem. You just mentioned that Kyrie was the problem in Brooklyn, but there is a common theme in Houston, in Brooklyn, in Philadelphia, and potentially he's predicting now in LA, of everything that goes wrong, there's a common thread, which is Harden. Harden's presence and Harden's interaction with his teammates and Harden's attitude and Harden's partying and tendencies to, you know, do how he wants and run system that he wants is affecting the team's culture. Which I think when you like analyze it at a high level, I think that's true. But like you said, in each individual team, there is probably issues within each of these individual teams that's caused them to want to leave, and you can examine each of those teams in a microcosm. But as a whole, Harden definitely has some diva attitude that makes him feel like he's entitled and he's better than everyone else, and that he can, as long as he just changes teams, he can make it work for some reason. As long as him and PJ Tucker, for some reason, they can make it work. But it clearly hasn't. Even right now, with the Clippers being a four-game losing streak, it hasn't worked.
Tucker has fit in right in.
Well, he's not playing. Well, he's not playing anyway.
Tucker's been playing.
Well, I know he's been playing. He's barely playing.
I saw a lot of Tucker. I definitely seen a lot of Tucker. He's played.
He's played, yeah, okay. Well, he's not.
Playing. I think we're, and not just us, by we, I mean the media, right? Because we're a part of the media. We're definitely part of that inner circle, for sure.
Yeah. Me and Shams are like...
Let's just say, with first name basis, we text. We text sometimes. And not just about basketball.
Yeah, sure. God, life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not even religious, but it's just, yeah. I know, it always goes back to God. Yeah.
When I want to talk to Shams, I go to my car. I go into my car. get that Shams phone out. check their ret status of any of the hundreds of messages I've sent him.
I feel like you make this joke so many times, but like, no one gets it. I get it, but no one else gets it.
Oh my god.
But that's by Chris Prasad, right?
Yes.
But like, I feel Chris Prasad, this is a tangent, but Chris Prasad on his show in Fox Sports, First Things First, I think that's pretty solid. I haven't really watched too much of it, but I think the conversation is much more deep than First Take, because that's what it's meant to be. It's like meant to be like a First Take kind of vibe where they're arguing with each other. But their chemistry, like the three guys, the host and then Chris Broussard and I forgot the other guy, but he used to be on ESPN as well. You'll recognize him. Their chemistry,
Nick,
like the way
the
they
guy with a beard, Nick, right? Nick something.
Yeah, Nick something. Yeah. They got like a really cool like chemistry where they like joke on each other, and it's like a podcast kind of vibe sort of thing. So I think like he's doing really well. But with Windy, like Windy has become such a shill? Like a corporate shill.
Windy. Oh my goodness. Okay. I didn't know you feel.
Windy has become so. Well, I mean, how else do you explain his meteoric rise into the company as like one of the faces of ESPN media? You know what I've said about him and LeBron. Like, he clearly has no relationship with LeBron at all. Like, LeBron has not once ever credited Brian Windhorst. Probably even if Brian Windhorst is in the audience and he's asking questions,
yeah.
he doesn't talk to him by name. He's just like, question. And then Windy will say his question. Oh. And he'll never say like, oh, great question, Brian. He'll like, he won't say that shit. He'll say it to like other reporters. I've heard him name other reporters before, but I've never heard him say like, oh, yeah, Brian. Like, even though they grew up together, like, well, kind of basically grew up together. He was from Ohio.
I wouldn't call your stalker as growing up together.
Like, from Akron. I mean, good for him. He hitched his wagon to the right star. But Windy to me has like kind of totally opposite way, like, you know, a guy that seemed obsessed with a celebrity like status of an NBA player, and he's now transitioning to more Wemby talk. Like, he talks about like how he went to France and how he spent time with Wemby. So it sounds like he's like kind of departing the LeBron train now and going onto the Wemby train, which I was a bit surprised by. I thought he will start to attach himself to Bronny Jr. But maybe the man knows talent, because he's going from one talent, like one generational talent, to potentially another generational talent, as opposed to a bench player who's just happens to be LeBron James' son. So maybe the man knows talent, but the way he's kind of like, he's not a bad person and he's not a bad analyst, but the way he sort of, I feel like he snaked his way into the organization by name dropping and... I do listen to his podcast though. I think he's got a good podcast, and I like their energy as well. The podcast,
because the other two basically just makes fun of Windy, right?
I get that. I like their dynamic too. I like the vibe, how they make fun of each other, the way they talk, the way they talk over each other as well, and the way they call each other out is quite cool. It's quite endearing. But I just can't help but feel like, just when you were talking, making that joke about. DMing Kevin Durant in his car and like talking about it, and Kevin Durant's like, no, I have never talked to this guy in my life, or something like that. Like, or maybe he said like, we do talk, but we're not that deep, or something like that.
No, like, I think that KD said he's never spoken to the guy in his life.
I never spoken to him. I reckon James would, if James was that like open about it, like, you know, Kevin Durant's like super open about his social media. If LeBron was that rude about things that, you know, other media people will claim that they spoke to LeBron James about and he calls them out, like, you would probably get that about Brian Windhorst. Except Brian Windhorst has never been outed like that. And Brian Windhorst has just continually staked his career on LeBron James in Cleveland, like, his entire career, basically. And now that he's been, like, enshrined in the, you know, the current heads and faces of ESPN media, like, along with Stephen A. and Malika and I don't know who else, whatever. Kendrick Perkins or whatever, like he's made it now. So now he can talk agnostically. He can like just speak agnostically, but he still needs to hitch his, he still needs to be like, so that's why he got sent to Paris. That's why he's got sent to the World Cup. And that's why he's like this, you know, this guy that's been trusted upon for, you know, yeah, I think you get what I'm trying to say. Chris Broussard's done well, I'm saying. Chris Broussard seems like he's transitioned well into in a new role where he's a lot more cool, but not as company shill.
Shill.
He's not as like a, as big of a company shill as seeing Brian Windhorst is.
To be clear, I mean, you are a Windy fan. You do listen to his show.
I used to not like Windy at all. So I think I think my words come across a bit mean, but I've come to liking Windy as a analyst.
Yeah.
But I think he is a bit snakish. I'm pretty sure that his actions like behind the scenes are pretty snakish.
Okay.
You can't climb up to like, you know, like come on, the guy looking the way he does, I'm sorry, like there has to be some politics.
Oh, I wouldn't use the imagery of a snake with Windy.
Oh, yeah, more of like a...
like a humongous...
like a hippopotamus. Humongous
whale.
Yeah, hungry, hungry hippo.
But to your point, the only legit... if you go that down that line, like the real legit guy, that's Howard Beck.
He's but he's different, though, because he's always been pure.
Yeah, he's the guy that, you know, during lockout, the famous story, of course... Kobe Bryant gets off the bus, goes to like, you know, the negotiation lineup of like reporters. Kobe, too cool, doesn't even like look at any of them. Goes up and goes, "What up, Beck?" Calls out Beck. And the other reporter was like, Zach Lowe was there, right? It was like, "Oh my God, what, like, what just happened?" He just anointed Howard Beck.
But that's the thing. That's how some people operate. They want to be like they don't give a fuck. And maybe Beck is like that. He doesn't give a fuck. But that's like a, you know, that's a way you have to play it sometimes to make it. Like people pick up on that vibe. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like if you answer my, if you pick me or not sort of thing. And that's why he's cool. But like,
he's the coolest.
That's why he's cool.
Kobe Bryant's not like there to like, you know, give pleasantries to any of these reporters. And obviously he does not. So he made a point to what up Beck. Okay, that's big time.
Well, when you're at that level, like a Giannis, like a Kobe, you know, like a LeBron, KD, you can choose how you operate with reporters. It's like how Giannis called out that reporter last playoffs after he got eliminated.
Yeah.
And the reporter asked him about, like, do you consider this season a failure?
Right.
And he went on this huge monologue about how he never considers any season a failed thing. And then he questioned that guy and he was like really in his face. And that was like a huge topic about, do we consider not winning a championship as a failure?
Well, it depends on who you are, right?
Which is a quite interesting topic.
It was an absolute disaster, okay? If you're like number one seed and you lose to like Miami Heat in five and lose like 18
points. Yeah, I respect that too. I respect that too. I think that's a fair point. But my what I'm trying to say is like Giannis has earned that right to speak his heart like that, you know, speak back at the reporter at what he thought was a dumb question, basically. Or as a question that gave him a platform to make it a teaching moment, basically, in his eyes. It's not about like whether his words are right or wrong.
Right.
But he has that platform, basically. You know, some players don't, and then we make fun of the players that think they have that right. But you know, they haven't, you know, quite
Spencer got Dinwiddie.
That legacy yet too. Sorry?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Did I hear Jordan Poole? Sorry.
I said Spencer Dinwiddie. Your guy. Before this we recorded, you talked about shoes. Why didn't you buy Spencer Dinwiddie's shoe?
I don't think they sell it.
Kairos or whatever, Gyros.
I don't think they sell it.
Anyway. How do we get onto reporters? What were we talking about? I've totally lost track.
I don't know. I mean, reporters are always interesting. For some reason, we like to rank our... Sometimes, we don't even like talk about the game. You tell me about the announcer and like... I do that too a lot, actually, to be honest. like how the announcers are doing during the game, like what they're saying. Well, you don't do as much because you don't have the volume on.
Kustoke.
But sometimes I have the volume on all the time.
When Sarah's on, mine's on faux volume. Okay. Yeah.
They had it really funny during the Clippers and Nets game. They had like a really like they're great. Iron Eagle only comes like for the top games the Nets have. Mm. Basically, he doesn't always appear. Like if it's the Wizards and the Nets, he probably won't show up. Because he's busy. He's like working for. I think he does like football announcing too now.
Right. He does stuff.
Yeah. But for the big games, like big stars, like, you know, probably if it's Lakers Nets or yeah, whatever, he'll be there.
With Sarah. It is a bit strange that his name is spelled like Ian, but he insists on being called Iron.
Yeah, it's a flex.
It's a bit of flex. And it sounds like Iron, because for the longest time I thought it was Iron Eagle. And I thought like it was like a nickname. I was like, what's the genesis of this nickname? But, I mean, anyway, he's great. He's
yeah, obviously great. It's not, yeah. I get what you're saying. Mm.
Like, you would figure, you know, you would change that name maybe. Or, like, simplify for people. But, obviously, he's found success. Or not. Sometimes, you know, you have a name like that that's so outrageous that that's actually, like, an icebreaker, right?
I mean, is that probably why celebrities come up with new names? It's, like, just to be a bit more memorable? Because if you have, like, a really boring name, like Emma Stone, like no one will ever remember you.
I mean, you definitely need the skills and the talent to back it up, but
like Leonardo DiCaprio, like that's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need the talent to back it up, right? But there's a novelty factor and memorability factor. You know, it's why
it's like Aquafina.
Aquafina, yeah, well, a little strange.
I don't even know what her real name is, but she just uses that as a screen name.
Probably like Wing Chun.
It's racist. It's really racist, actually. It's Wing Chun.
Wing Chun. Okay. I feel like this episode has been a disaster.
Oh, God.
Grizz, come back!
All right, quick fire. Do you have any hope the Grizzlies are going to make a comeback?
I don't think so.
They're currently, what are they currently right now?
1-7.
Honestly, 1-7? They didn't win the last game?
No, the fucking guy got killed. It was
against the Heat, right?
No, against the Jazz again.
Oh, no way, no fucking way. They lost to the Jazz?
Yeah,
oh, they again. Lost to the Wizards as well. Like, oh no, that was ages ago, sorry.
It's hopeless. And by the way, don't let the score distract you. Like, they were... The Jazz let them back in. Like, the Jazz was literally, like, double digits, like, late fourth quarter. So.
Oh, God.
It's a disaster. And
then they lost to the Heat before, and then they lost to the Jazz. And Jazz are, let's be honest, Jazz are questionable themselves. Average.
Well, I'm concerned because the game that they did win, they shouldn't have won.
Oh, the Blazers, right?
The Blazers were winning, and then they just let them come back in the last final
minutes. Oh, like big win. They were big lead, too, like 20-point lead.
Yeah, so, like, this team is a disaster. This team, in my mind, should be, like, 0-8, right?
Yeah, 0-9.
No, I'm not saying, you know, they're going to win 10 games this season, but what I'm saying is, even when Ja comes back at on the 25th game
They're not mark, making the playoffs.
They're not going to make the playoffs, right? And it's not like Ja is going to come back. It's like, oh... Boom, integrated immediately. No, it can't be like that, right? There's going to be a feeling out period. And I just feel like you're so behind the ball, it's too difficult. I think they're definitely not, this is not a playoff team at all.
Right now, let's just say, 4 games behind the playoff spot. So, you know, right now, it's if they keep this 4 game behind business, it's possible, right? But the 7 games behind the Nuggets, let's just say right now, it's impossible for them to catch up the Nuggets. 7 games behind, like, that's it. The Nuggets are not going to lose enough games, and the Grizzlies are not going to go unbeaten for them to catch up a 7-game lead difference, right? That's it.
7-game lead? I mean, they can't win a game, okay? They should be 0-8.
I know, but even if they were to, like, I'm saying, like, there's no way they're going to crack into the top 3 because they're literally 6 games behind the Wolves, 6 games behind the Mavs, and 7 games behind the Nuggets. Like, that's over. So the best hope is like making a play-in spot, which is doable because, you know.
It's not doable.
Well, it's more doable than making the top four, making the top six even. Like,
let me ask you this.
But the Rockets right now are the fifth seed. So,
is it doable if they're 5-20 when Ja comes back to make the play-in?
It's not doable. No, it's not doable.
It's not doable, right?
It's not doable 5-20.
If it's 5-20.
But that would suggest they don't turn it around. I'm saying if they do turn it around a little bit and they keep this four game behind business, then they'll have a chance. I'm saying four games behind in the 20 games in is not bad. Four games behind right now is, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But what I'm saying right now is seven games behind. Like, that's it. Like, they cannot catch up to the Nuggets in any scenario.
Okay, can we not talk about the Grizzlies and Nuggets in the same sentence?
Well, last season the Grizzlies were second in the West, and now the 15th.
You're saying, okay, it's possible that, you know, they can make up some ground here. But let me ask you, have they given some indications that they're turning this thing around?
Well, I've only watched those Portland games, which you insisted on watching. So,
by the way, those games are hot. Those games are actually good.
It was a double overtime? Just single overtime?
It was single overtime, but it was like, you know, back and forth, right?
Back and forth, yeah.
And even the game that they won, I mean, again, it's like a comeback, right?
Yeah, a big comeback.
The Grizz were up like big, and then Portland got up big, and then Grizz came back and won it. It's like, it's intense,
also,
right?
Also, just talking about Portland, man, fuck me, man. Like, Portland, they actually might be okay if they didn't keep getting injured. Like, now Robert Williams is out for the season. Seriously, I don't know, Celtics, if they have like a voodoo doll on every former player or something as soon as they trade them out, if they can just like activate like season ending injuries or something. Mm. But seriously, if Dame could just wait like a little bit longer and they never made that trade, like, you know, you can't get back Drew Holiday, the Celtics would be fucked. Like, they could not trade. Like, they would have to trade like more first round picks if Robert Williams was injured. You know what I mean? Mm. Was actually injured now. If they didn't get it done before the beginning of the season and now Robert Williams can't be included in the trade talks, the Celtics would be fucked. Yeah. Because Drew Holiday has been amazing for the Celtics, honestly. Like, just capital.
Even not just Robert Williams, even Brogdon. They couldn't, like, there was an issue trading Brogdon, right? Because he had some injury that was waived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or rerouted or something, right?
Well, he went... No. Brogdon's in it's Trailblazers right now.
Yeah, he's...
So they basically traded two injured players. Mm. And, I don't know, like a first-round pick or some shit.
God bless them. God bless the Celtics. But, okay, so... Okay, let's keep track of this. But because I'm saying that there's real possibility of 5-20 for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's... Yeah, I know. All I'm saying... I'm saying there is a chance right now. There's only four games behind the 10th spot, the Suns. And the Rockets are currently fifth seed, and that means nothing to me. You know what I mean? Like, the Rockets being the fifth seed and the Suns being the 10th seed is irrelevant right now. So the Grizzlies can easily catch up to either team because the Rockets are whatever, and the Suns should be better. And the only team that I'm sure about they can't catch is the Nuggets. That's all I'm saying. So from 2 to 15, like...
This is horrendous analysis.
What do you think the Mavericks...
Because you're looking at the raw numbers when you're not looking at the actual games, right?
But the games are... Like, the games are just, you know, the first 10 games. Who knows in the next 10 games if they're going to get better? Okay, fine. Okay, let's see. Okay, now I'm rooting for the fucking Grizzlies.
Oh, just my God. Let's take a look at the Wizards.
Let's take a look at the Wizards. Smug laugh. Yeah, you're so sure. The Grizzlies.
Let's take a look at the Wizards. What seed can they get still? Number two
seed? I'm not talking about the Wizards. I'm talking about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies.
Second seed still in play for the Wiz? I mean, definitely Celtics are better than the Wizards, but Bucks? I don't know. Not that many games.
Well, the East is stronger. Like, you can't make that argument. The East is way stronger.
But actually, good news, though. Good news for the Grizzlies, because tomorrow, by the time this podcast comes out, they might have got another win. They're playing the Clippers.
Ooh, Clippers.
Someone has to win there, right? There's got to definitely be a winner. There's no ties in the NBA.
See, it's still juicy. There's still juicy matches with the Grizz. And then they vs. the Lakers.
I've probably watched as many Grizzly games as, like, the Lakers.
The Lakers are probably the shittest team, apart from the Grizzlies.
Yeah, don't remind me. The Lakers are, like, horrendous.
Oh, they did beat the Suns, actually. I'm kidding. They did just beat the
Suns. Okay, yeah, they beat the Suns after being down, like, three out of the fourth quarters, right?
Oh, that's all that matters is the end of the fourth quarter. Who's up?
They give you no confidence, basically, because for, like, you know, 38 minutes out of 48, they're like, down, basically.
I think they're the worst point differential in the NBA, like, in the first quarter or something. The stat in that during that game said the negative 91, which is some kind of record, at least this season.
This is actually a big game tomorrow. Like, I'm definitely going to watch it. Like,
Grizzlies negative 91. There's only nine. They only played nine games so far. So that means on average, they're down 10 points.
Yeah, I believe it.
At the end of every first quarter. Yeah, I know. They've been so bad.
This is what's happened. Yeah, like immediately they're down. It's like, are they coming back? No, they're not coming back. They remain down like for most of the game.
Most games they're down.
Even the games that they won. Have they won any game where they've like led to be for
honest,
most of it?
No, but to be honest, like, that Suns game, I could tell they're going to make a comeback because their players actually look like they gave a damn. They were playing hard.
Right.
And when they benched D'Lo for some inexplicable reason in the fourth quarter for Cam Reddish, I thought Ham is like he's got some kind of bet going, like he wants like first coach to get fired or something like that, like he's trying to win a bet or something like that. But props to him, Reddish stepped up and hit, I don't know, like 4 3 pointers or something, or like three in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
Because D'Lo was playing, apart from LeBron, obviously, like AD was playing shit. D'Lo was the second best player in that game. Oh, for the Lakers, sorry. And he just got like doghoused for some reason. For no reason.
And when Cam got in, like, I agree with you. Like, Cam's been terrible. He shouldn't be in the league. It's how bad he's been playing.
Well, I think I think exaggerating. I think he can be in the league, but for the minutes he's getting, like, he hasn't earned it. And he started this game, is what that Suns game. He started it over Reeves, which, you know, like, Reeves has been up and down this season. But seriously, like, what has Cam Reddish done?
I have no idea.
To earn a start over Austin Reeves?
Like you said, I think those former, what's that, Darvin Ham, he's got like some bet with Adrian Griffin in Milwaukee. Who gets fired first? Let's trade places.
Oh, nice. I like that. They just need, Lakers need Rui Hachimura healthy, and they need Jared Vanderbilt back. I think that
my guy
combination of them like switching, like, you know, like one of them starting and the other one coming off the bench for that guy, that was working well, like down the season and into the playoffs. Like, they're not both not healthy. Oh, Rui just came back, I think, but I don't know how many minutes he played. And Vanderbilt's still injured, so they need those two back because I'm sick of this Prince Reddish combination.
I can't stand it.
Because Prince can only shoot threes. He only shoots threes.
I mean, he played well, but I just can't.
Good games.
I don't have any.
Well, he's played better than Reddish.
Like, Reddish shouldn't be in the league. Okay, so we've established tomorrow for sure. We're gonna make this like must see TV, right? Clippers against the Grizzlies.
Well, it's really early for you. It's like 4:30 a.m.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
4:30 a.m. for you.
Oh man, why are they doing this to me?
I think I will watch it. Oh, I definitely watch like second half at least. Yeah, for sure.
Looking at the time, we're going a bit over. So we'll save the topic of sports dating world till next time. This is very interesting. You're going to tell me what this is about.
I didn't know. I think it's going to be a good story.
Okay, interesting.
Not story, topic.
Okay.
But I'll quickly give my Cam Thomas rating. So I gave him a 7 last week. I'm going to give him a 5 this time because he got injured. He's out for a month, unfortunately. JV is done a bit better. I'm going to bump it up from 3.5 to a 5. So they're both 5 right now, which is like, you know.
Cam Thomas was like bawling and he got injured. Balling for you, and then you give him a 5.
I mean, like, when you get injured, you have to go to like a 0 basically. But I'm giving some benefit of the doubt that he's not out for the season. So, like, as long as he, you know what I mean? Like, he's balling, but then he's basically getting.
Stop. We got to make this accurate. We have to make this accurate. You can't put a 5 if, like, for the time that he's out. So you got to judge up until the time that he was injured. What is the score?
Oh, really? Okay, then he's still 7. No, he's still a 7 then.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Because at the end of the season, we can see, okay, he's seven, but obviously he missed like this chunk of game, but that's like not available, right?
All right, I got you. Okay, so he remains a seven then.
Yeah.
and Jack Vaughn, coach of the Nets, I give him a five because we're winning games and we beat a bad Clippers game. But, you know, if you think about it, at the start of the season, even without James Harden, you probably think, oh, the Nets are going to lose to the Clippers because Kawhi and PG are healthy. But fuck, man, solid win, great coaching. He outcoached Ty Lue. Well, it seems like Ty Lue's not being listened to as well. It feels like there might be a sense of Ty Lue is not getting the respect he deserves.
Ty Lue lost the password to the system.
Can't James Harden reset it. James Harden came in, is like, try strippers.
Oh boy.
With an exclamation mark.
Until next time, dear listeners, stay educated. Peace out.
Yeah. Take care. See ya. Issa Torres on the beat, boys.